You don't have to stand up. The A4 is what we'll be working from. And I'll just wait a moment.
1 minute.
The troops are gathering. Good to see you folks this morning. I think Christine mentioned last week how she's constantly blown away by just under God's providence, what is done in two sessions complements one another. Once again, there was no coordination between what Nicholas preached on this morning from Psalm 74 with a petition that we're looking at, but it shouldn't surprise us. They dovetail together wonderfully yet again. So, folks, if you're ready to come on in, we can get ourselves started. Nicholas?
Yep, you're good to go when you're ready.
It's going, is it? Right, yeah. That was all on the recorder. Folks, let me pray for us, and then we'll get going. Most loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had this morning to worship you, to fellowship together, to have opportunity of encouraging each other. We thank you now for this opportunity of thinking more about the Lord's Prayer and about how that might help us in our praying. And so may your Holy Spirit please teach us, please help us, and please help us to honour you as the King that you are. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great joys about prayer, it seems to me, is that when we pray, we visit the world. This morning, praying through the CMS prayer diary, for example, I was able to go to Cambodia in my prayers. And then as I went through my little prayer calendar, there are various people from different countries. Cambodia again, Bulgaria, Jordan, and a number of other places. I'm doing it off memory, so I'm only going to remember ones that I could certainly remember, because I don't want to be a fibber. But do you get what I'm saying? Prayer means we can go across the world. It's wonderful to be able to share with our brothers and sisters in many other nations through prayer, as we take our prayers for them to our Heavenly Father and to their Heavenly Father. And nowhere is this quite as clear as in our petition today. We're to pray to our Father in heaven. We've already seen that. That's whom we're to pray for. And we're to come with confident reverence as we pray, "Hallowed be your name." But we also pray, "Your kingdom come," because our God is the King. And so our prayers, once we're focused upon our Father in heaven, this prayer gives us six petitions, six requests for us to pray for. The first two focus our attention on God, and then the next four focus on our needs so we can honour him. And so we're going to one of those petitions now, "Your kingdom come." Now, what do we learn about prayer from this petition? Well, if nothing else, that our focus ought to be upon God. "Your kingdom come," not my kingdom come, but not even our kingdom come, but your kingdom come. We recognise that there is something, someone, far greater than all of us. And so already in the Lord's Prayer, we've seen two things, that we are both sons and daughters who address God as our Father, but in this petition, we see that our Father is the King, and therefore we are subjects of the King, and as such we are his representatives in this world. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes if you don't really feel much like getting up and you're not quite sure what the day's going to bring, or even worse, you're not really quite sure who you are and whether it's really worthwhile doing anything, just put this in your pipe and smoke it, so to speak. Not only are you a son or a daughter of the king, but you're the king's subject, which makes you the king's representative. And you and I represent the king of the universe. We represent heaven upon earth. And so we love what he wants. Our chief aim is to represent him in this world. We do that with our words that convey his will, because he speaks to us in words that convey his will, and works that show forth the wonder and the joy of his ways. Secondly, it means we see him not only as central, but we trust him as our loving Father and all-powerful King. And that means that our prayers are never an attempt. They're not our attempt to get him to give us what we want, but rather for us to seek what he wants for us. And I think this is one of the most fundamental truths about prayer. Your kingdom come. It's not about what we want, but it's about what God wants. So in the notes there I have, prayer then expresses our love for him. We lay down our crowns so we can enjoy the freedom of his rule. Remember last term we saw that, when we did Two Ways to Live. We have to take off our crowns and want to run our lives, and we allow him to be the king of our lives. And the paradox of that is, the more we come in line with him, no matter how hard it might be, how unpopular it might be, the more we will experience the freedom of him ruling our lives. Whose service, the old prayer book prayer used to put, whose service is perfect freedom. So we pray, your kingdom come. It's not about you. It's not about me. And what a blessed relief that is. Do you find that an encouragement? Imagine if God was duty-bound to answer all of our prayers in the positive. I'm so glad that God, often with a resounding no's, answered my prayers. Because I then reflect and think, that was because of what I wanted. That was so I would feel good, or I would look better than, or whatever. Thankfully, God answers his prayer when his kingdom is the focus. But he will not answer, well, he will answer, he'll answer with a resounding no, where we are at the centre of the prayers. Can you imagine just the difference our world would be, our churches would be, and we would be, if we all sought God's kingdom and God's will to be done in and through us? Your kingdom come. Well, what's it all about? Let me suggest a few things. Listen to the Lord Jesus. Finish these verses, because they're pretty well known. Matthew 4:17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. By the way, in Matthew's gospel, it's called the kingdom of heaven. In the other gospels, the kingdom of God. The shorthand answer to that is very simple. Matthew's gospel was written to Jewish people, and the Jews were very careful about not using God's name. And so they simply said, the kingdom of heaven. But they're interchangeable terms. So, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You see, because Jesus was near. Jesus was right there. And if we repent, that is, we do an about a U-turn and stop going our own way and begin to go his way, we become members of his kingdom. The kingdom of God comes to us. Chapter 5 and verse 3 of Matthew, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not might be the kingdom of heaven. No, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Once we put our trust in the Lord Jesus, once we have demonstrated that we're poor in spirit, we declared our bankruptcy before God and applied to him for the full pardon that he will give to us, then we become members of God's kingdom. When we receive Jesus as King, we're members of his kingdom. Chapter 19 and verse 14, let the children come to me, for to such the kingdom of heaven belongs. So we come dependent upon the Lord Jesus. So we become members of his kingdom when we put our trust in him. I haven't put this in the notes, but in Matthew 19 and verses 16 and following, you might just like to make a note of that. Matthew 19 and verses 16 and following, it's about the rich young ruler. Remember, he comes and says to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Then Jesus says, if you're to enter the kingdom of God, then you must put him first. And then the disciples say, well, who can be saved? So to be saved, to have eternal life, and to be a part of the kingdom of God are all interchangeable terms. We become members of the kingdom of God when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. And indeed, in Luke chapter 17 and verse 21, Jesus said to some people, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. I take it that means that the Holy Spirit comes to rule in our hearts. He's the Spirit of Jesus. The King's rule takes place in our hearts. And so, Jesus is Lord. We are God's subjects with hearts that are given over to Jesus and led by the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be part of the kingdom. And this kingdom is a growing kingdom. It's not a nation anymore. It was once Israel, but it's no longer Israel. It's men and women from every nation. Remember Matthew 28. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So people from every nation, tribe, become members of God's kingdom. And we read in Matthew 13:44, if a man finds a great pearl, what does he do? He goes and sells everything so that he can
buy it.
Now, it doesn't mean we can buy our way into the kingdom. What he's saying is, let nothing get in the way of the kingdom for you. Give everything for it. Be prepared to give yourself for it. So it's the most valuable thing in the whole world. In 13:31, it grows. It's like the mustard seed. It's a very small seed, but it grows. It becomes the biggest garden shrub. And in it, the birds of the air find refreshment. The kingdom of God's like that for us. And it's also like yeast. Remember, the yeast goes into the dough. What does the yeast do? It makes it grow. It infiltrates. Dear friends, I want to tell you, we all want to be infiltrators, not terrorists, but infiltrating to bring joy into our workplaces, into our families, into our neighbourhoods. We are to infiltrate like yeast. And yet, the kingdom is still to come. There's more people to come into the kingdom, and there's more kingdom growth to take place in us as individuals and in our churches. And that'll become manifest, of course, at his return in glory. And so in Matthew 13:47 and verse 40, we see two metaphors, one of a fisherman who takes out of a net the fish that are worth keeping and the fish that are worth throwing away. And that there'll be a sorting out and a separation of the wheat from the weeds. In other words, the kingdom as it comes now is we keep on sowing the seed, we keep on seeking to to win people for the kingdom. But there'll be a day, as we sang actually in the hymn, we sang that all the labour of the ages will come to be seen. And so there'll be those who are either the sheep or the goats, as Jesus says also in that same passage, where there'll be an eternal separation. So there's an awesomeness about this, but also something to look forward to. That if we invest our lives in the kingdom, which is another way of saying, if we invest our lives in serving the king, it won't come to nothing. There'll be a glorious and wonderful conclusion. And so in verse 42, the Lord Jesus says, they will throw them into the fiery furnace where there'll be gnashing and weeping, gnashing of teeth and weeping. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Hear as ears to hear and let him hear. Serious business, folks, about being members of the kingdom. Serious thing about living in God's world. And he calls us all to be accountable. And the wonderful message we have is that the Lord Jesus was accountable on our behalf. And so if we trust him, then we'll be counted with him. If not, we'll be separated, sadly, from him. And therefore, fourth point, we pray your kingdom come, and our prayers, let me suggest, will at least be these things. There'll be prayers of gratitude. Gratitude that God the Holy Spirit opened our eyes to Jesus the King. I have so many things as a young man. As a young man, who am I trying to kid? As a man who has grown up where I grew up and in the era I've grown up, I've marvellous things to thank God for in terms of material and that kind of stuff. I didn't grow up in a wealthy family, but I grew up in a safe place. But the thing that above all I thank God for is the local parish church. And for Mr. Lowe, who lived down the street, it took us to the branch Sunday school before that. Because it was there I was introduced to the Lord Jesus. Whose wonder came real to me, not so much initially through the teaching, but through the example of those servants in that parish church. And when the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and the penny dropped and I knew that I had to put my trust in the Lord Jesus, and I became a member of the kingdom. And I cannot pray the Lord's Prayer without being grateful to God for his kingdom and to those who brought that message and showed the message to me. I want to thank God that he has given me eyes to see that although this world has many good things to offer, it is in reality a tottering stage. It's not going to last. And that's why the Apostle John tells us, do not love the world or the things in the world. And he goes on to tell us what they are, greed and envy. But he then tells us, because this world will pass away, but God's kingdom will endure forever. Secondly, there will always be love. Love for Jesus, that he will one day be honoured as king by many. What a day it's going to be when he returns again. And as Nicholas reminded us this morning in our sermon, you hear about, you read about, and more, and I hope that you put yourself in the way of being grieved by reading Barnabas Magazine or Open Doors, by knowing what's going on in the persecuted church, so that you do grieve, so that you pray, but so that you can be encouraged that Christ's love will meet the needs of every one of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted. Thirdly, it's a prayer that will include obedience, where we want his kingly rule to be more and more evident, firstly in us us, meaning us individuals and us as a congregation, where the family likeness will be seen and extended. You see, we've not only come to him, but we've taken up his yoke, haven't we? Come to me, all weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, in other words, my teaching upon you. You'll find rest for your souls. Is that easy? Of course not. It's hard, especially in our community where we're mocked and our views are so often just written off these days. But yet, what does the Lord say? For I'm gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We find him gentle and rest as we submit to his rule, not as we try to run away from his rule. And we'll include the sense that we are dual citizens. We love to obey and allow him to transform us. And you know what you guys are? We are, as a church, we're a kingdom of God outpost. We're outposts of the kingdom of God, where his message is proclaimed, where his ways are practiced. And we don't do it perfectly, but we seek to do that. We're dual citizens. Why would you be a citizen of Australia only if you can also be a citizen of heaven? You can lose your passport for Australia. If you were in some of those people whose houses were burnt out, they've lost everything in terms of their identity cards. But nobody can ever take the identity that we have in Christ, being members of his kingdom, away from us. And we love to see unrepentant sinners turn and become members of the kingdom. We don't want our friends to be mono citizens, do we? We want them to become dual citizens as we. And we want them to turn while there's time. So, dear friends, whenever we pray this prayer, we must be evangelical. We must be evangelical in our lifestyle. That is, we want to be bearers of the message that Jesus saves. We want to show what a saved person looks like, what a saved bunch of people look like. And so this petition commits us at least to pray that God's kingdom will come to Tom, Dick and Harry. And I hope that one of the things you might, if you haven't done, but I hope you have done it, but if you haven't, you might do it, is in this listing here that you actually write down the names of folks in your life, in your family, amongst your friends, amongst your neighbours, who are not Christians. And you make it your business to pray to them, to pray for them regularly, that God will do his work, that the Holy Spirit will draw them to himself. That is probably the most important ministry that you and I can ever exercise for anybody. It's far more important than praying for their work, far more important than praying for their health, far more important than praying for any temporal kind of blessing. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for those things. Don't hear me say that. But this is the key for us to be praying for. Because that's one of the responsibilities that God has given to us. We're to pray for workers for the kingdom. Matthew 9:35, Jesus said, pray for labourers in the harvest. He'll be embarrassed, but I'm going to embarrass him. There are very few clergy in this diocese who are under 40. Nick's one of them. I can't think of any of the others. Some of them are about to be ordained, I hope. There are very few. You pray that God will raise up labourers for the harvest. That is, people who know and love the Lord Jesus, and people who know him so much and honour his word so much that they will preach that word to people and stand people up so that they might repent and believe and come to the Lord Jesus. And then this prayer commits us to go as disciples. You know, the Great Commission, we often write it off, go into all the world. It could be translated, as you go. You don't have to go to the world to make disciples. As you go. As you go to golf during the week. As you go and visit your family during the week. As you go. I'm not saying we've got to stand on the table at the coffee shop and preach, but we ought to pray that God will give us an opportunity of talking about him. It at least means that we'll be salty. You know why they put salted peanuts on the bar in the pubs, isn't it? It's so that you'll, and I often give them away, so that you'll drink more. And that's what God wants us to be, is to be salty Christians. People that create a thirst for him so we can be his light bearers. In the questions this morning, I'm giving you a quote from Dallas Willard. The way to get as many people into heaven as you can is to get heaven into as many people as you can. And that's what this prayer is about, to get heaven into us. That is God's will. We'll hear more about that next week. God's likeness, God's character. So, dear friends, your kingdom come. A wonderful challenge to be people who pray globally, people who pray individually and congregationally, that at the very heart of everything we do, the King will be seen to be King. So in our groups, then, it's a matter of having, one of the questions is to discuss that particular quote. You might want to share how you've gone with using some Paul's prayers that we looked at last week. You might want to add some names to your prayer organiser, or at least share with each other how that you found that helpful. And on the back of this sheet, you might even want to have a look at another way of thinking about prayer: looking up, looking in, looking around, looking back for thanksgiving, and looking forward. Just another way of helping us to see that. So we'll go into groups. We've got 20 minutes. And if you have any questions, we should have time for me to look at those afterwards. So let's go into our groups now. If there's anybody brand new here today, then I'm sure Nicholas will lead you and show you which group to go to.